Well, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I want to share with you two short scripture readings. The first one is from Luke, chapter 12, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then from Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. "Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, 'I will never leave you or forsake you.' So we can say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?'" Well, this past Monday, I saw a TV news report of an interview by a reporter of a man who was camped out in front of Best Buy. I mean, literally camped out in front of Best Buy. It was Monday, and he had set up a huge tent. And the camera went inside the tent and panned what he had in this tent, and you could see a rather large flat-screen TV. You could see a DVD player playing movies, and there was a movie playing at that moment. And then the camera panned over, and you could see this ice chest. He had his soft drinks, and yes, he had his beer in the corner. He had a sleeping bag and a pad, and he had food, and he was prepared to stay from Monday until Friday, camped out in the concrete in front of Best Buy. The reporter asked him, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Well, they're having a great deal on a TV on Friday, and I want to be here to get that ticket so I can buy that TV and many other things that will be greatly discounted." Wow. Guy is willing to camp out for 5 days to be first in line on Black Friday. But Jesus says, "Your life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions." Do you believe that? I believe that. But then I saw the ad for Fry's Electronics for Black Friday. I saw the ad, and the ad seemed to proclaim that my life would be better, and I would be more content with my life if I just purchased some of the items that would be on sale on Black Friday. I would be happier if I just bought any of the items. For example, the large 80-inch flat-screen TV. Wow. Or a more powerful computer. Or a smaller iPad. So many things that would make me happy. As I was reading through this ad, I could feel the tension building up inside. As I wrestled with Jesus' saying and what the culture was telling me would bring happiness to my life. I'm curious, how many of you went shopping on Black Friday? Raise your hands, it's confession time. So did I. Even though I was in California visiting my family, I was at Fry's Electronics at 5:30 in the morning. And I found myself wandering the aisles looking for something that would make me happier, that would make me more contented. Looking for something to buy, and yes, I bought something. I bought a helicopter. Somebody likes helicopters. That worked real well, don't you think? Well, how long do you think that's going to make me happy? I mean, really. I mean, I'd probably fly it many, many times at first, and then I'd fly it a little less, and maybe a month or two from now, a little less, and then maybe 4 or 5 months from now, where would it probably be? Yeah, somebody, so the garage sale gal at 8 o'clock service said, yeah, be in your garage sale. Or probably up on a shelf. Because the truth is, this helicopter is not going to bring lasting happiness. I mean, it'll be great for a while until it gets broken. Imagine that. How could that happen? Or I get bored with it. It really won't bring lasting happiness. It is so easy to become discontented with what we have. We want to remodel our house. If only this changed in our house, we'd be happy with our house. Or you notice that your new car you just bought is kind of losing its new car smell, and you see a better car, and you become discontented with the car you have. Or maybe when you were a child, you said, I'd like different parents. My friends have better parents than my parents. I mean, they get to stay out however late they like. They don't really have to worry about their homework. I want different parents. Or maybe you say, I want different children. Their children are much better behaved than my children. Of course, you know, if they were your children, they would be just as badly behaved as they are now. It just works that way. But we become discontented, even with the church sometimes. A few of us may hop from church to church, always finding things that irritate us. And after a while, after 2 years, we're trying another church, and then maybe another church, and another church, and another church. It is so easy to be discontented with what we have. I also notice that we become discontented sometimes with the wrong things. We become discontented with things that we should be content with. In 1977, I bought from my parents a 1968 Dodge Coronet. Can you put that image up on the screen? Looked almost identically like this car, except it had a white vinyl roof. And my parents sold it to me at a bargain of $700. They had put about 90,000 miles on it. They had driven it for about 9 to 10 years. And they sold it to me when I was in high school. And I was taking auto shop, so I loved to take it into auto shop and work on it and keep it in top running condition. I graduated from high school, and then I went to college. And for 3 of the 5 years I was in college, I would commute about 45 miles one way, 90 miles round trip every day, driving down to San Diego State University, driving this car. Then I graduated from San Diego State University, and Beth and I moved to Dallas, and I attended seminary living in Greenville, Texas, driving 55 miles one way, 110 miles every day in order to drive to seminary and back, driving this car. By the way, it was not a cool car. Four-door car for a young adult. Of course, it had a V8 engine and a 318-cubic engine. It would go 108 miles an hour. Don't ask me how I know that, but I just know that. So it wasn't really cool, but it was cheap, it was affordable, and it was reliable. It was transportation. It got me through 9 years of college so that I never had to take out a student loan. You see, I was content with the vehicle I had, and it made all the difference in the world in terms of life. You know, I noticed that we become content with things that should also make us discontent. We become content with the wrong things. For example, We get discontent with the things we possess or other people, but usually we are content with ourselves and who we are. Perhaps that's where we should be discontent. Discontent with who we are. In other words, maybe we need to strive to live a better life. Maybe we need to seek to have a better prayer life. Maybe we need to pursue justice for other people more this year than last year. Maybe we need to grow in love for others more than we were loving last year. Maybe we need to become grace-filled in our lives where maybe grace wasn't there. Maybe we need to grow spiritually in our lives. Maybe we need to be discontent with who we are so we can grow into who God would like us to be. But usually, we get discontent with our possessions and with others. How can we change that? Well, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have a little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need." Those words come from the Apostle Paul, who learned to be content. And he learned to be content even though he was in prison. If Paul can learn to be content with his circumstances, certainly we can learn how to be content in our circumstances. And all it takes is developing a positive attitude about life. So how do we cultivate contentment? Well, I'm going to propose to you three ways to do that this morning. There are many other ways, but I have a very short length of time. So I'm just going to propose three. And the first one comes from John Ortberg, who says, what you really need to do when you're discontent is say one phrase: it could be worse. Can you say that with me? It could be worse. So for an example, when you see somebody getting into a nicer car than your car, and you turn to your car and you get in your car, you say, it could be worse. Or you see somebody up the hill from you, up the hill from your house, who's building this much bigger, nicer house with a better view than yours, you turn and you go in your front door and you say, it could be worse. Or you go to your job and every day something just irritates you at work. You're just bothered by something, and pretty soon you have a list of grievances at work. But the next time when you walk in the door to your job, why not say, it could be worse? Or you sit down to your dining room table and you look at your spouse across the table. And you say, it could be worse. Well, maybe you shouldn't say that. Maybe you should just think that. You see, it's all an attitude. It could be worse. Be thankful for what you have been blessed with. Find the good in what you already have. I think of the story of a farmer. He had lived in the same farm his whole life. It was a good farm. But with the passing years, the farmer began to tire of it. And he saw things that he grumbled about. And he would criticize some feature of his farm. And pretty soon he had a list. And finally he said, I am ready to sell this farm and find another. So he contacted a real estate broker and said, I want to sell my farm. And she said, that'd be fine. And she came over and met with him. And she looked over the farm. And then, of course, she needed to write up an advertisement to advertise the farm. So, of course, she looked at all the good attributes of the farm. She said, well, the advantages are it has an ideal location, it has modern equipment, it has healthy stock, and it has acres and acres of fertile land. So she wrote this up in an ad, and then she called the farmer and said, I want to read to you the ad about your farm for your approval. And once he heard her advertising his farm, he said, wait a minute, that's the farm I always wished to buy. He changed his mind, and he said he wasn't going to sell because he forgot what he already had in his possession. We have to realize what we have. It is so easy to focus on the bad things rather than to see the good things. We may have all we need right in our hands to make us happy. Secondly, if you're seeking to be contented, there is a great question to ask. How long will this make me happy? How long will this make me happy? Maybe you have experienced a child coming to you and just begging and pleading for some gift that they need you to buy them for Christmas. So you sacrifice and you go out and you buy that item and you wrap it up and it's under the tree, and Christmas morning comes and they unwrap that package, this gift they've been begging for, and they're so excited when they get it for about 5 minutes. And then you turn around and you notice they're playing with the boxes instead. How long will this make you happy? By the way, a couple of years ago, I bought this. Do you know what this is? Somebody on the front row at 8 o'clock knew exactly what it was, because he has one. It's a Bluetooth wireless headset. It will easily connect to an iPod, to an iPhone, to my computer, so that you can hear anything in the way of music. It's great quality. It charges up. It's great. Bought it a couple years ago. Can you guess how many times I've used it? None. Never. Just sits connected to the charger. Isn't that a disgrace? And I have several items like this. I thought at the time, that would be great. That would be a wonderful purchase. That's what I need. And I buy the item. And then it sits on the shelf. I have some other items in which I've used them once or twice, but not more than that. You realize how much money I could have saved by not buying these things? If only I had asked the question. How long will this bring me happiness? See, I'm telling it, checking to see if you're paying attention. I'm worried now. About 13 years ago, Beth and I thought about putting a pool in at our house. We had just moved into our house about a year or two earlier. We thought, it's Arizona. It gets awfully hot here in the summer. Some of you don't know that. You leave. But we were going to build a pool. We were going to put it in, and it was going to be $20,000 to $30,000. And we asked the question, how long will this make us happy? And as we thought through that process, we thought the first summer we'll swim in it every day probably. Second summer, maybe not as much. Third summer, probably less. Fourth summer, maybe once or twice. We then went to our son and said, Tim, what would you think about us putting a pool in? Whatever. He wasn't that excited. So we thought, how long will this make us happy? Is it worth $20,000 or $30,000? And we said no. And we didn't put the pool in. We saved $20,000 or $30,000. Now, I want you to know, some of you have pools. That's great. For some of you, it makes good sense. Also, several years ago, we thought about buying a boat. We love to go out to Canyon Lake, love to go water skiing or kneeboarding or tubing, love to go fishing or swimming. I mean, it's great out at Canyon Lake and other lakes, and we thought, well, it's about $20,000, $30,000 for a boat, but how long will this make us happy? Well, the first summer, we'd probably use it a lot. Then the next summer, less. Next summer, less. Well, we've seen a lot of boats that just sit in driveways. You ever notice that? I'm really busy. Probably wouldn't have enough time to get out there that often. Probably we shouldn't spend the $20,000 or $30,000 to get a boat. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of you have boats. That's great. That may make sense for you. But for us, by asking the question, how long will this make us happy, we save $40,000 to $60,000 answering that question. By the way, I'm really glad that some of you have boats and pools because we can get invited and use your boat or pool, okay? But you get the idea. How long will it make you happy? The writer of Ecclesiastes had everything, and I'm not exaggerating. He was powerful. He could have anything he desired. He had all the money. He could buy anything he desired, and he did. He indulged, and you know what he said after all those experiences? It's all vanity. Or another translation describes, it is meaningless. It is a chasing after the wind. It's a good question to ask. The third way, develop a grateful heart. In any situation, you can be positive or you can be negative. You can be grateful or you can be resentful. Have you ever been around a person who's negative? They just suck the life out of you, don't they? You ever been around a person who's positive? It's awesome. For example, Sunday mornings, even if I preach a so-so sermon, people will come to me in the line and say, give me a hug, and then say, what a wonderful sermon, Pastor. I like being around thankful people. Even in a bad sermon, they can find something to be thankful for. And they energize you. They lift you up. The truth is, contentment is all about attitude. You can decide to be discontented or you can decide to be contented. It is up to you. I'm going to show you a video. Sometimes you and I are on the hamster wheel. We are like those hamsters. And sometimes by circumstances we are thrown to the edge of the hamster wheel because of somebody else's actions. Sometimes, though, we operate in full steam ahead mode regardless of what it does to other people around us. Notice that in the video? We think contentment will come because we work really, really hard, and then we buy all the things that we think we really, really need. Because the culture tells us that we need to get on this hamster wheel. But contentment, it escapes us. And honestly, when we get off the hamster wheel, we find we are in the same place where we started from. What we need to do is get off the hamster wheel and be thankful for what we already have. Being thankful, isn't that what Thanksgiving is all about? Let us pray. Oh God, we know that we do need to learn how to be content. Content with all the things you have already blessed our lives with. Not things we can buy on Black Friday. But the love you have for us. The love of family and friends. Of people who really matter in our lives. Of the joy of just living in your creation. Of just being alive. Lord, help us to develop a positive attitude. Help us to be thankful in all things. And help us to feel your love and your mercy and your grace, and to go forth and proclaim our thankfulness this day. In Jesus' name, amen.